I like to be able to put scripture up on the board because sometimes we can make something seem as if it's right. It sounds right, but actually it can be completely out of context and it can be wrong. And sometimes when we look at scripture, if we don't look at it for ourselves, we can think that the minister is pointing the finger at us. I'll give you an example. Many years ago, there was a couple that I knew. He wasn't churched, she was. They both went through a divorce, and they were wandering looking for churches. And every time they came to Grace, I preached on divorce, or it was mentioned in the scripture. It was not intentional, however, they could have thought it was. So, when you see the scripture for yourself, you know it's not me aiming an arrow, it's the Lord maybe aiming an arrow. So, today, the subject I want to look at is found in Matthew 6:33. But seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. When we look through scripture, when I certainly look through scripture, there's certain scriptures that jump out at you. Have you noticed that? I mean, if you was to get your Bible, and I'm sure we've all done this from time to time, where you go, Lord, just give me something. No, give me something else. Have you ever been there? It's like, and he went and hung himself. No, give me something else. That's not encouraging. So, but there are times where we just open scripture and it just speaks to us. Well, that's what happens to me from time to time when I look through God's word. So I want us just to look at this subject, but seek first the kingdom. And when we look at kingdom, we can see it put in different forms, like it is here, and then we can hear it again. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who went out. A kingdom of heaven is like, and maybe we can explore that over the next weeks, months, maybe years. But today I want to look at this. But seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. I always set my clock just to encourage you, but the truth is I never look at it. But it does encourage people, doesn't it? One of the things, if you're new to Grace or you're a visitor, is we start on time and we finish on time, and we like to be honourable. But if God says do something different, then we're always open to his leading. But it needs to be his leading, yes, not ours. So, but seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and these things will be given to you as well. So we need to understand what these things are. What is Jesus talking about? And if you look at this great Sermon on the Mount, you look at the things he says. Everything is useful. Everything is edifying. It says this, do not worry saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink? You go back up further. It says, do not worry about your clothes. It goes up even further. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Now, we all like to be clothed correctly. We all like to be well fed. We all like things. It's not necessarily saying those things are wrong, but listen to what it does say. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow, reap, or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? That's the important part of that scripture when we're going through tough times. Well, maybe we're going through lack. Are you not more valuable than the things that we put value on? That's one of the things that I believe the Lord is saying. Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? The answer is no, isn't it? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers in the field grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothed the grass of the fields, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? What does the Bible say about little faith? If your faith is small as a mustard seed, you can say. So you of little faith, so do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom, then it goes on, and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow has enough worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. But there's something that we can easily miss in this, I believe anyway, is seek first the kingdom, and a kingdom need a king, and we're talking about Christ as king, aren't we? When we look at what the Pharisees would say when they talk about when's the kingdom coming, we'll look at that in a moment. They're expecting a mighty warrior coming on a mighty horse with mighty armor and a mighty sword. But the kingdom we're talking about is the humility of God coming as one of us. Yes, he has a mighty sword. It's the word of God. So I want us to look at kingdom living. As we seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, righteousness is a right standing. As we seek his kingdom and have a right standing with God, then all these things will be given to us as well. So it's an encouraging word, I believe. In Luke 17, 21, it says, nor will people say, here it is, or there it is, because the kingdom of God is in your midst. Or when we look at that word midst, that translation, it's around us, it's in us. For the kingdom of God is in you. If you are a believer, if you've repented and accepted salvation by faith, grace alone, faith alone, in Christ alone, then he's in the midst of you. The kingdom that the Bible talks about is in you. Yes, it's around you, but it's in you. And if we just look at what it says in 20 coming down, once on being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, because they're expecting this mighty force, the coming of the kingdom of God is not something that can be observed. Nor can people say, here it is, or there it is, because the kingdom is in your midst. So I want to encourage us that we have the living Christ in us. The Bible says, Christ in you, Christ in us, the hope of glory. And so often when we look at the things that we can't have, the clothes we can't wear, the food that we don't have finances to produce, we look at the things that seem to be unobtainable, we can easily forget what we do have. And it's Christ in us. And I've had the privilege of being able to sit with some people recently who are going through tough times in their health, in their body. They have life-limiting ailments. But the truth is, I live because Christ lives in me. You see, when we die, we live, don't we? And we don't hear those sermons very often. The Bible says to live is Christ, to die is gain. But that doesn't sound very good, does it? If you are limiting God to what you see, what you eat, what you wear, if you're limiting the kingdom to what you see around you, and unless you limit the kingdom to what God says, which is limitless, it says it's in the midst of you, it's in you, it's around you. In 2 Corinthians 9:8, it says this, and God is able to bless you abundantly. Now that's a good scripture, isn't it? And God is able to bless you abundantly. That's part of kingdom. So that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Now that is a good portion of scripture. But let's go up a bit and read from 6 down to where we are. Remember, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give. Not reluctantly, not under compulsion, not because the pastor preaches a message, not because you listen to prosperity teachers, but because God's doing a work in your heart, because he lives in you. God loves a cheerful giver. God is able to bless you abundantly. Can you see the difference between just pulling that kingdom passage out, which that is a kingdom passage, and not listening and looking at what God says before that, because there are things that will help us, will guide us to receive more of what God has for us. And God wants us to have a clean heart, doesn't he? So, you know, David says, create in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit. That's because he knew who he was. He knew that he was a sinner. He knew that he needed the grace of God. How much more us, having the Holy Spirit to convince us and convict us, can we live a kingdom life? Seek first. To seek, how many of you have, you must have played hide and seek as a child or even an adult. You know, in hide and seek, my grandchildren, they make me smile because you go and hide and I'll seek. And I'm going, I wonder where they are. I'm behind the curtain. You're not supposed to tell me. We're supposed to seek you. And when we look at this word to seek, there's an understanding that we need to do something. We need to look at God's word and say, what are you saying to me? What does this mean for me in this. I'm seeking your kingdom. I know you're in me, so convince me, convict me, enable me to see you more clearly. Someone may see it one way, another sees it another way, but there's a truth in Bible. There's a foundation, and then it can be a personal revelation. I hope that makes sense. But God is able to bless you abundantly. So don't ever think, this is my lot. God wants to bless you, encourage you, enable you. He wants to discipline you, correct you, and direct you. It's the full package, isn't it? You cannot just accept the good things from God and not accept the discipline from God. You know, we've all got stories we can tell of God's discipline. I remember, you know, I was in this really holy place where I was shouting at God, going, oh, that's it, I've had enough, can't do it anymore. And you hear this little voice, well, I did, and it went, well, you know, I won't give you more than you can bear. Well, that flipped me. What do you mean? Well, what it means is I can bear more than what I think I can bear, and so can you. So we can't just see the good things that the world says are good, that's the kingdom. No, everything's kingdom. The good, the bad, and the indifferent, it's all kingdom. All of God's word is good, it says, for encouraging, rebuking, correcting, directing. It's all good, it's all kingdom, but we need to look. If we will look, we will see. If we will see, we will digest. If we digest, it will produce something. I hope some of it will make sense as we look through God's word together. In 2 Corinthians 4:18, it says this, "So fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." That's kingdom. But listen to what it says before that, starting at verse 1 of this portion of scripture. So we read that bottom line and we go, yes, Lord, there is an eternal perspective, an eternal dwelling for each and every one of us. We are to fear not. But it says this, 2 Corinthians 4, starting at verse 1, "Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God." That's important when we're seeking kingdom, not to distort the word of God. You know, I know that I am gifted in being able to speak. You know, when I was younger, before God got hold of me, I had a vicious tongue. I fought with my tongue. I'm this short, not scary person. I used to shake, my legs would turn to jelly in conflict, but I would fight with my mouth. And I guess people thought, we need to be wary of this man, because they thought I was something that I wasn't. I was weak inside, but something strong come out of my mouth. So I know there's times I can manipulate things. There's things that I can say that make it sound right, and yet it's wrong. I would be a good salesman. The only problem is, for me, I'd have to believe in what I was selling in order to sell it. We don't sell the gospel, we give it away. But if you believe, at the overflow of the heart, the mouth will speak. I hope you grab this. The kingdom will come out. But there are times that we can distort the word of God because we want it to say what we want it to say. You know, can I do this? What does God's word say? Well, no, but, well, it's no then, isn't it? We want to distort it. Yeah, but what, are you different? Are you different to everyone else when it says do not do this and then it's okay for you to do it? Sorry, I'm not pointing at anybody. I'm just saying, if we're going to look at this portion of scripture, if we're going to look at the 4:18, it says this, "So fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen." We need to understand what's being said beforehand. "Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart." We do not lose heart. That's a choice, that's a decision. Kingdom living. It says, "Nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to anyone's conscience, to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled," other words, some people see it dimly, "it is veiled to those that are perishing. For the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers." God doesn't blind the minds of unbelievers. Satan does, the God of this world. He blinds the eyes and the minds of unbelievers, and they cannot see the light of the gospel that's displayed in the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. As we seek the kingdom, something that came to me, this is just a personal illustration, not what the word of God says. When I read a portion of scripture like this, that the eyes of the unrighteous, those that don't believe, are veiled. I look at the parable of the sower, and it talks about the cares of this world, and it talks about the word being sown and it being robbed, and there's places full of thistles and thorns and rocks, yes? Well, from a poetic point of view, it's not biblical, but from a poetic point of view, I imagine that God's called me to be a gardener, to pull up the weeds, the thistles, the thorns around when I can serve other people, to remove the rubble and the obstacles so that when that seed is sown, it's sown into a soil that will receive it and an eye that will see it, because God's given us a ministry of reconciliation. He's given us a ministry to reconcile man to God. So I see part of our job, when people are around us, even though the enemy, Satan, comes to rob, steal and destroy, God comes to give life and life in all his fullness. So it's not just about me, is it? God doesn't say, I want you to find salvation and hide it. It says, seek the kingdom, share the kingdom. So I want us to be encouraged as we look through scripture, because it's all good for kingdom living. God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so they cannot see the light of the gospel that is displayed in the glory of Christ, the image of God. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants, for Jesus' sake. See, I come not to be served, Jesus said, but to serve, and we're to do the same. That's kingdom living. Seek first the kingdom. What can I do for others? What can I do for you, Lord? For God, who said, let light shine in the darkness, made his light shine in our hearts, to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay, that's these fragile jars that we call our body, to show that the all-surpassing power is from God. God works through our weakness as we seek his kingdom and his righteousness. We need to have a right standing in order for kingdom to be able to fully manifest through us. Because it's sin that separates us from God. That's why I'm putting that in there. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. We're hard-pressed, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. Seek first the kingdom, for we who are alive are always being given over to death. I need to die in order for God to live. Is what this is saying, for Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal bodies. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. It is written, I believe, therefore I have spoken. Since we have the same spirit of faith, we also believe. There's only one God, one Lord, one Saviour, isn't there? We believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that the one who raise the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with him to himself. Kingdom living. Seek first the kingdom, regardless of what age we are. Whether we're the 1 hour worker, the 11th hour worker, the reward is well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. We need to seek the kingdom and his righteousness. We always need to keep, I believe, short accounts with each other, short accounts with God, and say, Lord, create in me a clean heart. Because we get soiled, don't we? Create in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit. And more people, and all this is for your benefit, so that the grace that God is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. People will see what God is doing in your life and be thankful for it. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles, are achieving for us an eternal glory. Seek first the kingdom that far outweighs them all. So fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. As we look into kingdom living and we take God's word in its entirety, we can see there's a bigger picture, there's a bigger tapestry. I know that there's times where I can be quite poetic in the things I say, and I don't share the fact that I'm dyslexic because I wear it as a badge, like, oh, poor me. I say it because it sets people free. Because if God can do something through me, he can do it through you. We can go, I can't, but because the kingdom is in you, you can. Through Christ. See, I can't in the natural. Never read a book in my life. I never read a book in my life. I've listened to the Bible, but I've never read a book from cover to cover. Not even a small magazine, because the words get jumbled up for me. And I'm not interested now I'm a Christian. I listen to the word. I have Audible, so I listen to other books with a Christian theme. But I'm a visual person. But what I'm saying in that is, God will take the weakness and he'll produce the strength. All we need to do is live a kingdom life. Seek first the kingdom and everything else will. But I can't do that. Well, seek first the kingdom and God will reveal something to you. Seek his righteousness. So we need to have a right standing with him. So there may be things in your life, in my life, that God reveals. And he says, listen, there's a blockage here, son. There's a thistle, there's a thorn, there's a rock, there's a boulder. You need to get rid of that and then the water will flow. You imagine there's a stream, there's a dam. It's the dam that's stopping the stream from flowing. That could be anything in our lives. Whatever you want to put there. Whatever you're struggling with. And just say, Lord, I want to seek your kingdom. Forgive me. Encourage me. Enable me. Wash me. But we need to seek it. We need to pursue it. Because God's not going to go, you know, he's going to show us through his word. He's already revealed himself in Jesus Christ. He's already said, here I am, I'm behind the curtain. In fact, he didn't say that, did he? He said, here I am, the curtain's torn from top to bottom so that you can have access. Can you remember, the youngsters won't remember this credit card. It was called Access. The flexible friend. Is there anyone else my age? Access, the flexible friend. Well, Jesus is not access to flexible friends. He's the Redeemer. He's the kingdom. And he said, what was separating me and you from God was this curtain. Only the priest, the high priest, could go in. And without a sacrifice, he wasn't allowed. And yet when Jesus said it's finished, he tore that curtain from top to bottom, this thick curtain, so that we could have access, so that you could have kingdom living in you. But we need to keep short accounts one with another and allow that kingdom to come. Your kingdom come, your will be done. So just a few more scriptures, and I think it's good to read God's word. And I know you're not reading it, but you are listening it. You can read it on screen, because it's food, it's nourishment. You know, when we feel weak, his food will bring us strength, kingdom. But we need to seek it. We need to acknowledge it. I am who God's called me to be. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. That's not being boastful. I boast in the Lord. Kingdom living. I can't, but in Christ I can. In Hebrews 10, verse 14, for by one sacrifice he has made perfect forever those that are being made holy. Being made holy, that's us. We're being made holy because of his sacrifice, which is perfect. The Holy Spirit also testifies about this. First he says, this is the covenant I will make with them. After that time, says the Lord, I will put my laws on their heart and I will write them on their minds. Then he adds, their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. Let's just stop there for a moment, because there are times that some of us, some of the time, think that what we've done and how we've acted is unforgivable. Yet God says that he will remember those sins no more. So as we repent and ask him to forgive us, he forgives us. He doesn't remember them, so nor should you. That's kingdom living. That's the Holy Spirit in us. That's the kingdom in us convicting us. Shouldn't have done that. Shouldn't have said that. I'm going to change. I'm going to go a different direction. Don't keep reminding yourself of what you did wrong, because God doesn't understand it. He's going, I can't remember it. And then you go, well, I'll remind you, Lord. Remember when I had that argument? Well, now you say, no, he doesn't remember it. And where there has been, where these have been forgiven, sacrifice for sin is no longer necessary. Kingdom living says Jesus came and died once and for all, yes? The curtain was torn once and for all. Seek first the kingdom, and then all these will be added. And these you can put, they're endless, endless, endless promises that God, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Seek first the kingdom. There are many people who are in the world, and we call the world those that don't accept Christ as Saviour. They can't understand this. They go, well, where is God? I can't see him. No, because you don't know him, because he doesn't live in you. It's only when he lives in you, because you know him, and you're known by him, that he speaks to you. He can speak to you through his word if you choose to listen to his word. Where there have been forgiven, sacrifice of sins is no longer necessary. You don't need to sacrifice. You need to believe. Kingdom living. Seek first the kingdom. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, that's what I was saying about the curtain. We go in now through the blood of Jesus by the new and living way opened up through the curtain. Not my words, but his words. That is his body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. For he who promised is faithful. Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up on meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. As we come together, as we meet one with another, we are iron that sharpens iron. We're not just coming to church so we get a bigger offering. We're coming to church so we receive more of what God has us, because there's a collective. It's not just about the worship. It's not just about the word. It's about the welcome, and it's about you. See, you are living stones, and if you're living stones, there's a greater amount of life that comes together when we come together as a body. When we feel isolated, we come together. When we feel insignificant, we come together. God lifts us up, he lifts us out, he encourages us. Seek first the kingdom. If we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sins are left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and a raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. Anyone who rejects the law of Moses died without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much more severely do you think someone who deserves to be punished, who has trampled on the Son of God underfoot, who has treated as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant that sacrificed, that sanctified them, and who has insulted the Spirit of grace? God always gives us the negative to the positive. But you have the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords living in you. And as we look into God's word and we seek his kingdom, we can read a portion of scripture like this and say, Lord, I am thankful that you saved me from that. It's kingdom living, but we need to seek it. We need to say, Lord, show me afresh. I'm not talking about salvation. It's sealed. It's done. It's there. He's given us a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. If you've been given a deposit, that means there's more. I know there's an eternal salvation. We won't get that until we are there. But there's more of kingdom as we seek it. There's more of kingdom as we seek it. We need to be those, I believe, that don't just say, Lord, fill me, overflow. Lord, provide for me that I can provide for others. Give to me so I can give away. It's not just about how much I have as what I can give with what God gives me, yes? If I don't have it, I can't give it. If you don't have peace, you can't be peace to your neighbor. If you don't have an assurance that the kingdom lives in you, then you cannot speak with assurance. Someone will say, are you saved? You go, well, I think I am. No, you are, if you have repented and accepted, yes? So that's the foundation on which we build upon. But there's more kingdom to come. Lord, as I forgive others, you forgive me. As I walk free in this forgiveness, those weapons that war against me, they won't have an impact. I don't need to worry about my back, because you're my rear guard. Lord, you are above me, beneath me, around me. You are my saviour. You are my provider. That's kingdom. And I know it sounds triumphant. Don't get me wrong. I, like most of you, have gone through suffering. But it's only for a little while. It's only temporary. Sometimes we have to walk through the valley. But the Bible says walk through the valley, doesn't it? It doesn't say stay in the valley and go, woe is me in the valley. Where are you, Lord? No, it says walk through. So it means that he's always beckoning you forward. He's always on the water of life, like it was with Peter saying, come, it's me. And when he looked at his feet and he looked at the waves and he started to sink, you know, the heart of God is to say, come, try again. So seek first the kingdom. Well, I'm enjoying this anyway. I know it's one-sided. But this is kingdom living. We have two scriptures, Matthew 16:26, that says this: what good will it be if someone to gain the whole world and forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their souls? They can't. For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with the angels, and then he will reward each person according to what they have done. Salvation is assured. You know, there's a parable of the one talent, two talents, five talents. You know, if we're a one talent person, that's okay, as long as we work with the talent God's given us. What do you want me to do, Lord? I just want you to pray. Well, I'll pray. What do you want me to do, Lord? I want you to lead. Well, I'll lead. You know, it's not about how much we do. It's about how obedient we are, because we're seeking kingdom. When we make decisions, is it kingdom decisions? When we make decisions, are we seeking first the kingdom before we make that decision? Lord, what's your will in this? God wants to encourage you. God wants to bless you. God wants you to be all that you can be. He wants you to prosper. And the word prosperity has been perverted, because many prosperity preachers will say, name it and claim it, blab it and grab it. But that isn't the end of it, because there is power in what we say. Okay? But prosperity is the fullness of salvation. Nothing broken, nothing missing. God has saved you. He snatched you out of the flames, and he's given you the fullness of his Spirit to take advantage of. You need to grab it. You need to seek it. You don't need to. You can say no. But God's offering a gift, and we say, yes, Lord, I will drink in of your goodness. So as we look through his word, I won't do that for time. Romans 12:6. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. And those gifts are given because of God's grace. God's grace, undeserved favor. It says in 4:4, just as each one of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function. So in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all of the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to us. If your gift is prophesying, to prophesy is to proclaim. Now, they've got the Old Testament prophet. The Old Testament prophet would say, the Messiah is coming. Yes? He would prophesy the coming of Jesus. Well, Jesus is already here, so we don't need to prophesy that, do we? Because he's already here. But to prophesy is to bring God's grace, to proclaim his truth, to speak his word. Now, there are times where some people will have a word of knowledge, but it has to come from the Holy Spirit to proclaim it, to bring it forth. So if it's prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. And I like the directness of what's being said here. So it's like, well, if it's prophesying, speak. If it's serving, serve. Yeah, but I don't know if I can. If it's serving, serve. Seems that's kingdom living. I can't. But Lord, show me. Help me. Enable me. Now, Emma and I, we always use each other with examples. Well, I do anyway, because I preach, and I just use Emma. Well, Emma could have turned around and said, look, I can sing, but I can't lead. I can sing, but I don't want to be at the front where everyone sees me. But, Lord, if that's what you want me to do, then I'll give you 3 weeks, 3 years, 5 years, 6 years. No, the point I'm making is it's not because we are super special, it's because we're seeking first the kingdom. Lord, I have a gift. What do you want me to do with it? He might say nothing. I want you to sit. I want you to pray. And then I'll tell you when. But there's things we don't need to pray about because it's kingdom. Can I give you an example? If I have £10 in my wallet and you need £5, I don't need to pray about it. Kingdom living says I want to share what God has given me. Because I have it, I want to give it. That's kingdom. And I can only do that because the King lives in me. Because the Spirit of truth lives in me. So there are things that we don't need. Oh, I'm going off on one, sorry. Things that we don't need to be super spiritual about. You know, I can sing. Jay, you've been invited to sing. So he's going to. Nigel shackled him to the ground beside him. But he knows he can sing. He has a desire to serve. So therefore he overcomes his fearfulness and he serves God. Using that as an example. So there's kingdom living. There's things that we don't need to pray about because the King lives in us. He's encouraged us, enabled us. Then there's other things in kingdom living we need to be cautious about. Because if I give my £10 to you, then I have nothing. And then I have to ask someone else to give to me. So we need to be wise. But prosperity is nothing broken, nothing missing. It's the fullness of what God's word says. And it says, I am able. Seek first the kingdom. And all these things will be added. Different gifts according to the grace given to each one of them. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will inherit. If it's to encourage, then encourage. And so often in church life, I believe anyway, that sometimes, because we are people under authority, we know we have a gift, and the leadership won't allow us to exercise that gift. But do you know what? God will make room. God will make room. He will make room for you. There was, in my early Christian walk, Susan and I had a desire to walk with the teenagers in our church, and we were deemed unsuitable because we weren't whatever. Just in case one of them listened to this. We didn't measure up. And do you know what happened? All the teenagers came round our house. They'd knock on the door and say, can we come in? Can we talk? We didn't. We just said, here we are available. God will make a way. For me, in the natural, there's never been a way for me to minister God's word because I couldn't do the things that other people could do. I couldn't go to Bible college. I couldn't write down my sermons. And so the world excluded me. The reason I'm saying it is not violins, because I'm who God's called me to be. It's to say that God will make a way if you seek first the kingdom. So my desire was never to lead. My desire was to follow. And if you say to Lord, I will follow you, then he'll lead you through the darkness into the light. But we need to seek first the kingdom. I hope it makes sense. If it is encouraged, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, then lead diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. And then scripture goes on about love in action. So we need to serve the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. This is kingdom life. Bless those that persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those that rejoice. Mourn with those that mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you. Now listen to this. We miss it so often. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, not on me, on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. We so often... I wanted to finish, but I want to just stress this point. We so often think people get away with evil, but they don't, because we leave room for God's wrath. So God will, he's come as a savior. He's coming back as a judge. He will judge the living and the dead. He will judge the righteous and the unrighteous. So we need to leave room for God's wrath and say, Lord, it's not for me to judge the church. You judge the church. It's not for me to judge the unchurch. Sorry, you judge the church. We are to judge one another. For it is written, it's mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. You can only do this if you have kingdom living. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. A sermon for another day. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. I'll finish there. That's kingdom living. We can only overcome evil because of the good that lives in us. Because we're not good. We are not good. We are evil. But because of God's goodness... Well, that's what the Bible says anyway. But because of God's goodness, because of his righteousness, we can be righteous because we have a right standing with God. Because of the kingdom that lives in us, we can be at peace with others. Because of the kingdom that we've sought, we've said, Lord, because you've forgiven me, I'll forgive them. It may be a journey, but we forgive. Because you've given to me, I want to give back to you. Because I give back to you, we seek to look after the poor and the vulnerable. Lord, create in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit, so the kingdom that lives in me can be expanded. So my message is for us to seek it, to say, Lord, what do you want me to do? Lord, reveal more of your kingdom to me. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for your goodness, your grace, your mercy. Lord, we thank you that we are imperfect vessels, being made perfect, made holy. That, Lord, we're going from glory to glory. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Even though we know our imperfections, you are perfect. And you're making us, Father God, more like you. As we seek first your kingdom. All of the things that are around us, Lord, that we're struggling with, that you will make a way where there seems to be no way. Lord, you will give us the food we eat. You'll give us the clothes that we wear. You'll give us the peace that transcends all understanding. Help me, Lord, to seek first your kingdom and to receive your grace when it's given. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.